Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we tee it up with our pals from Talk Radio News. How fun. We have Jeff Holtzman in the wings. We haven't talked to him in a while. Always love having him with us. Hey, Jeff, it's very busy these days in D.C. I imagine you're probably on your fifth pair of shoes so far this year.
Yeah, it has been a couple busy weeks, and a lot of scandals, obviously. And, you know, so that's perfect for the talk radio community. There's nothing more than we love than a big scandal. And, you know, these things come in pairs and true to form. You know, we've seen, stuff unfold with the IRS. We've seen stuff unfold in terms of the administration, you know, spying on journalists. But real quick, we'll start with the IRS because there was a hearing today. The Senate Finance Committee, heard testimony from the former commissioner, Doug Shulman. He left the agency in November, but he was present when this whole targeting of conservative groups applying for tax exempt status was going on. He was obviously grilled today, and he said, you know what, I didn't make that decision to target those groups, to scrutinize those applications. It didn't come from me, and therefore, you know, don't blame me. That's essentially what he said in his testimony in a nutshell. He was also asked to apologize, and he didn't apologize. He said, I regret that this happened, but again, it didn't come from me. It was a directive issued by someone lower than me. I never knew about it. So that's what Doug Shulman says, although I think there are a lot of skeptics out there who say, you know what, this guy probably knew what was going on and he's trying to CYA.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too, absolutely. And the fact that also, too, this other story comes out that Daryl Issa has already subpoenaed Lois Lerner to try to get her appearance before the panel, and they're talking about pleading the fifth before the oversight panel.
Well, yeah, I mean, Lois Lerner is the person who leaked the news about the investigation into the IRS 2 Fridays ago. Remember, she was responding seemingly to a random question at a legal conference in Washington. We know now that the questionnaire was a plant, and that the idea to put a plant in the audience came from Stephen Miller, the former acting commissioner who was just forced to resign last week. He took credit for that brilliant idea. So Lois Lerner, I mean, she was an officer, an official in that Cincinnati, division, which was responsible for reviewing those tax exempt applications. And she is supposed to testify tomorrow morning before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, although her lawyer today notified the chairman, Issa, that she's going to plead the fifth. And the reason is because he said there's a Department of Justice investigation into the IRS. It's a criminal probe. And so somebody like Lerner doesn't want to implicate herself on the witness stand tomorrow before, you know, the investigation has been completed. And so the question now is, will she appear? The lawyer for her asked that she not appear. He said it would be embarrassing for her to have to plead the fifth over and over. But I don't know that he's going to let her off the hook. So we'll see what happens at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, should be interesting. All right, so that's the IRS stuff. Then you moved to immigration and the Senate Judiciary Committee. Really, did they push that bill along, the reform bill?
They got it through the Judiciary Committee just a couple hours ago, Kate. The vote was 13-5. It's a 10-8 committee in terms of split, in terms of Democrats and Republicans. So 3 Republicans actually voted for it, Orrin Hatch, Jeff Flake, and Lindsey Graham. And the bill went through a rigorous amendment process. There were over 160 amendments offered to it. The Republicans got 30 amendments attached. But by and large, the main core of the bill was not changed. It still offers a pathway to citizenship for an estimated 11 to 12 million illegal immigrants. It still, would not necessarily force the United States government to fully secure the border, and that's something that conservatives had real issues with. A couple of conservative Republicans on that committee tried to defeat the bill, Ted Cruz, Chuck Grassley, and Jeff Sessions. You know, they all offered amendments that would have really driven at that security issue, but they were all shot down. So what the bill does essentially now is it forces the Department of Homeland Security to put together a plan to make the border 90% secure along the entire border. But again, once that plan is approved, then immigrants can begin applying for temporary legal status, which puts them on the pathway. There's nothing in the bill that actually says that plan has to become law. and that's where conservatives have issues with it. But nonetheless, the big day for a lot of proponents of the bill, a lot of proponents of, you know, giving, awarding a citizenship, or at least, you know, removing the threat of deportation against these millions of immigrants. And in fact, there were audible cheers inside the committee hearing room. A lot of, advocates for the immigration reform bill descended upon Washington today. We're in D.C. to lobby, and we're obviously very happy a few hours ago when the bill passed out of committee.
Yeah. One last thing. This is a big story. I was in Ireland, and they were telling us how great it was. Apples here in Cork and all that kind of stuff. And I guess it's pretty good for Apple in a sense, but the Apple CEO, Tim Cook, on Tuesday really defended his company. He was there before Congress. What was the scoop? Why was he there?
Well, Tim Cook was there defending Apple's practice of using Ireland as a tax shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what Apple's been doing is they've been funneling, you know, earnings into subsidiary units based in Ireland. Now, these aren't real, you know, companies, but they're, in other words, shell companies. They don't actually have anybody working there. They don't do any sort of R&D. They don't do any intellectual property development, anything like that. But it's a place where Apple can stash its cash. And that's what Apple's been doing. The committee that investigated this practice found that Apple actually was able to dodge paying $9 billion worth of U.S. taxes last year as a result of doing this. But here's the catch. What Apple's doing is completely legal. They're not breaking any sort of laws. The main issue here is that the U.S. Corporate tax code contains loophole upon loophole that allow corporations to, you know, move money overseas, so that they're not subject to tax here in the States.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
All right, Kate, thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye. The other part of the story is today what's not happening in Washington, although discussions have centered around aid to the people in Oklahoma, and you see how the disasters and the relief are piling up like 747s during rush hour at JFK. So, of course, the Oklahoma senators are embracing any kind of disaster aid, but they oppose the Sandy bill. So it's being pointed out again and again in their face. Hey, you didn't want to, you were against Superstorm Sandy money going through. So now you need some for yourself. In fact, the person who called out the two senators from Oklahoma was Congressman Pete King, and he said he's going to overlook what he called the hypocrisy of those on the Hill who wouldn't sign off on money for the aftermath of Sandy and that nightmare, and instead now are begging with hat in hand for funding for Oklahoma. And so, you know, you never know. It comes around full circle, as they say. What's that deal about karma? I think that politics getting in the way with helping the people of Oklahoma doesn't really do anybody any good when you have people whose homes were smashed to smithereens. It's just like what happened after Sandy, however. And then it's a question of how much gets funneled in, how long it takes, all that sort of stuff. Luckily, we have so many great people in this country that they can't even get to a more Oklahoma fast enough. So many people that are bringing water and food, and even if they're being told, hey, you can't go in this neighborhood because we got bulldozers there, we're doing this, we're doing that, they still get pretty close and they manage to get that food and the money and the aid to the people. So bravo to all who are doing that. Easiest way still, though, perhaps, is the Red Cross. You funnel the money there, most of it goes into the hands of the people who need it on the ground in Oklahoma. Why did Star Trek bomb at the box office? We're talking about it next with Stephen Shohet. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
Reason why you are still alive is because I am allowing it. So shut your mouth.
Captain, you're going to punch me again over and over till your arm weakens. Clearly you want to, so tell me, why did you allow me to live?
We all make mistakes.
No. I surrender to you because despite your attempt to convince me otherwise, you seem to have a conscience, Mr. Kirk.
All right, that was another snippet from Star Trek, which I saw, by the way, on opening day. I rather liked it, but not a lot of people agreed with that because the expectations were high, but the box office was kind of low for what the projections were. Each and every week, we talk to our pal on the West Coast, Stephen Shohead. He's the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. You can get that if you go to HollywoodStories.com, and plus there's an awesome audio version, too. Stephen, I know you were excited. In fact, the last time when we talked last week, you had already pre-purchased your ticket. You were going to go do it up big time, the IMAX, the whole thing, 3D. First, before we get into the box office and how it performed, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I gave it a 3.5 out of 4. I really loved it. You know, I had a couple of quibbles. They were just some things that maybe they didn't explain that could have taken just another minute of dialogue. Like early on in the movie, there's an attack on you would think in a pretty high security facility, and they could have explained how the attacker got past the security and just some other things that just would have fleshed it out a little more, maybe an extra 5 or 10 minutes. And I understand that maybe you wouldn't want to do that because you're slowing the movie down a little bit, but I think it, you know, personally, it, you know, it's just my take. I think you could have benefited from that. Now,
It's a real interesting thing with the box office and the reaction of some of the Star Trek fans. Enraged is the word I would use, and it's incredible when you think about it. But that, it's very polarizing.
Yeah, no kidding. And I had the same assessment as you. I mean, I would almost give it 4 stars, 3.5. And I saw it 3D. That's the way I saw it. And the theater was pretty crowded, and that theater seemed to like it. It was a mix of probably 20s, 30s, 40s kind of people. But, this is just really opening week, so we're coming up on a week. Do you think it picks up because this is a holiday, we're coming into the summer, maybe it kind of finds its footing, or nah?
I don't know. It's really interesting. Fast and Furious is coming out. That's got a big projection. Hangover 3 is coming out. That's got a pretty good projection. I think the reviews on Star Trek are very good. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes has it, I think, at 87% positive. That's really good. I mean, the people I went with really loved it. Now, I do know some people who weren't as enthusiastic about it. It's an interesting thing. I mean, the villain, maybe people can guess who it is. I'm not going to say, but some people are angry that the identity of the villain wasn't revealed. And that's kind of an interesting thing that they thought the villain, people should know the villain like they knew it was going to be the Joker in The Dark Knight. And J.J. Abrams likes to have a mystery and a twist in storytelling. And so the cast who's doing the interviews promoting the movie tried to hide who the villain was. In fact, Alice Eve came out and flatly denied who it was and wasn't telling the truth. So people are annoyed by things like that. I personally am not. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I like to have the twist. Some people are, I can tell you the one thing that can potentially annoy me is if people get very political and I think Zachary Quinto is definitely a political guy. And going on shows like Bill Maher and making his statements and personally, I really don't appreciate that all the time. Obviously I'm kind of opposite of where he's coming from, but I wonder if that affects things. And then you have a movie without really any big name stars. I mean, Zoe Saldana and might be becoming a big star, and Chris Pine is going to play Jack Ryan pretty soon here in the Tom Clancy, books being made again. So, without the name power, I mean, who knows if that's the reason why it didn't do as well. So, there are things that are, but I think the biggest thing is how angry, not all of them, but some of the core trackers are at J.J. Abrams. I mean, they're just really mad. They think he's totally disrespecting them and disrespecting Star Trek as it's gone on before. And I don't think that's true. I think he's very respectful myself, but it's an interesting situation.
Yeah, plus I was thinking about this because, you're going backwards. What do they call them? The prequels. And you're taking what is the core of Star Trek and how many people, and I can say this because you see this in the movie trailer clips if people haven't seen it. To me, is there anything better than going after the Klingons or talking about the Klingons or Khan, that whole, the villain kind of thing? To me, that's the essence. That's some of the best Star Trek from old.
Yeah. Well, with that, I mean, people are comparing it to The Wrath of Khan, and they took a scene from The Wrath of Khan that's sort of iconic and reversed the positions of Kirk and Spock. Now, The only thing that bothered me about that was that they were using some of the dialogue that was actually in the movie, The Wrath of Khan. But to have the situation reversed, I mean, I thought it was very poignant and interesting, and I was moved by it, actually. I thought Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine were great. I mean, now Chris Pine, you know, is sort of reborn, or Captain Kirk is sort of reborn.
Yeah.
And the only thing I thought, you know, with the Captain Kirk was William Shatner's Captain Kirk, yes, he was a womanizer, but he was also romantic. I don't think he was running through and trying to use the women. I mean, you know, things didn't work out, or sometimes he was doing things to save his ship. But I don't think he was a cat, and they sort of had that with a little bit with the Chris Pine character. So that was one thing that I thought, you know, maybe they're missing the boat a little bit. But I thought, you know, like I said, I thought the Kirk and Spock thing, their relationship was really moving. Now they, instead of doing Kirk, Spock, and McCoy, they seem to be doing more Kirk, Spock, and Uhura, you know, for whatever reason. But I really like the movie, so I don't know if it'll have legs or not. It's a crowded summer. There's a lot of competition, and it certainly is not the big success that Iron Man is, already making over $1 billion. And here's Star Trek not able to make $100 million in the U.S. with a four-day release. But if you put it in another perspective, the movie Star Trek Nemesis, I think made in 2002, made $40 million in its entire release. And people thought at the time that that was the complete end of the franchise. So they're definitely going to have a new Star Trek movie in 2015.
Yeah, safe to say that for sure. And maybe they'll put some tweaks in there. Who knows? I just have a feeling we're going to be talking about stuff like The Lone Ranger. You mentioned Fast and Furious. It's going to be very interesting the weeks to come because things are really heating up in Hollywood for sure. And we'll be talking about that. Great as always. Each and every week we look forward to this, Stephen. And I mentioned that, you know, things are taking off for you big time, I think, with the audio version, too, of Hollywood Stories, isn't it?
Yeah, people are enjoying it. Now there's ebook, hardcover, and audiobook, and you know, again, I just hope people enjoy it. It's over 1,000 anecdotes, so you know, it's a really nice Father's Day gift if people are interested in that. The audio is download only on the Audible, and I am working on that second book, and I don't know when it's going to be done, but there's constantly new stories to research and constantly fascinating things happening, you know, in the movie world.
I agree. I can't wait for that. All right, Stephen, thanks. We'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kate.
And so this weekend, as I mentioned, it's Memorial Day, and that gives people an extra day to perhaps go and see some of the movies that we have been talking about. You know, some people I know went to see 42. That didn't really kill at the box office, but I heard it was a really good movie. The Great Gatsby, Iron Man 3, of course, we know. Even there's a little bit of an audience for Pain and Gain, but I think Hangover 3 is going to be the real killer. I think it smashes box office records and becomes the biggest of all three Hangovers. Stay with us. We're taking you to Oklahoma next to talk to Rob Morris. Wait till you hear what he has to say about what's going on there.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Hi, my name is Stephen Huer. As a degreed nutritionist, my first priority is for you to get healthy. That won't happen if I make wrong recommendations or cause you to spend money on supplements you don't need. After 20 years working with thousands of products and thousands of people, I know, for the most part, what does and does not work. One World Whey is the first and only unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. It retains substances that no other whey protein powder has. These nutritive compounds supply life-giving nutrition. Your body merely needs the right conditions to make great health happen. Due to low-quality foods, toxicity, and aging, having great health is more of an effort than ever. One World Whey is the superfood of the century, and when added to your diet, it promotes energy, detoxification, muscle gains, fat loss, and overall radiant health. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Really tough watching so many of these pictures come out of Moore, Oklahoma. I guess the one thing is, with the crazy numbers of people that we're talking about who died from the tornado, at least that number has come down now, officially saying 24 people dead, including 9 children. Somebody who knows all too well what a tornado can do is Rob Morris. He's in the wings. He's with Moore Monthly Magazine, the MooreDaily.com. You can check him out there as well. Has a long history in journalism, and also is somebody from Moore. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the show with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
So, as somebody who knows a lot of these people, is you know, this is your community. This has to be incredibly tough for you to first watch what happened and then watch all this aftermath. What's that been like for you?
Well, it's been really, really difficult on so many levels. The neighborhood that got really hit the hardest, especially the Plaza Towers elementary school, that's a school I've done some stories on. I mean, I've been inside that building, seeing the kids, and to stand in front of that building today and actually yesterday afternoon as they were still working to recover bodies was one of the more difficult moments of the whole
situation. Just to know those kids, you know, those precious little kindergarten kids, first graders, third graders, up through sixth grade, you know, just a few days away from summer vacation. In fact, the sixth graders were practicing their sixth grade graduation that day, earlier that day, and to know that, you know, some of those kids will no longer see that was really, really a horrendous feeling. So very difficult.
Yeah. One of the things that's being discussed and is always discussed with tornadoes is how much warning do you get and what about the watches and all that that sort of thing. And there's some discrepancies about how much time there was. What do we finally know? Somebody told me today it was like 5 minutes or something from the actual warning to when this giant twister touched down. Is that right?
Well, whoever told you that, you need to find them and smack them upside the head. That's not correct. You know, the thing about being in Oklahoma, the meteorologist here, we have the National Weather Service in Norman, and then we have our television meteorologist for all the grief they get from missing forecasts from time to time. They're the best in the country. When they go to these meteorological conventions, they're the rock stars. Because working in Tornado Alley, these guys have all the latest technological tools. They, all the stations have choppers that can get up and follow these storms and see how they develop. The warning on this, I can tell you for a fact because I had the TV on. We knew early in the day, we actually knew on Friday that it was going to be bad on Sunday and Monday, and that Monday was probably going to be worse. And so, you know, we were all being very weather aware. And the first warning of a storm came out 45 minutes before the storm actually hit. And we had the radar up, and these two small storms bubbled up southwest of Moore. My boss called about 30 minutes later, actually about 25 minutes later, and over the course of a five-minute conversation with him as he was driving back into town, those two storms combined and became this one big storm. And about a few minutes after I hung up the phone, I got the first tornado warning. So 45 minutes out, there was a warning that there was a storm that could create a possible tornado. And 15 minutes before it hit, there was a tornado warning that the tornado was on the ground. And I don't want to go on and on and on, but the unique thing about this storm, as someone who's lived here for nearly 20 years and seen these things roll through, it was blue sky. There was, this came out of nowhere. There was not a line of storms that was rolling in as what was happened in May 3rd, 1999. This just blew up, and 45 minutes later, it was an F5 tornado, and that hardly ever happens.
Yeah. So for all this that everybody's trying to talk about, warnings and watches and, oh, geez, if they could have had more time, could more have been done to warn the people of this monster tornado, from what you're saying, hey, this was not like anything we had seen. You know, blue skies, boom, there you go.
Yeah, you know, in this particular situation, I would say I can't imagine the people at the National Weather Service and the meteorologists at the TV station could have done any more than they did. You know, when I look back on May 3rd, 1999, which I was working at KFOR, the NBC affiliate at the time, we knew that storm rolled up in Chickasha, which is about, oh gosh, 45 miles down the road. And we saw that thing coming for over an hour. I mean, it was a tornado that was on the ground for the most part for over an hour before it hit the metro Oklahoma City area. Like I said, this thing blew up down by Newcastle, which is about 10 or 15 minutes away from Moore. And, you know, it's just like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting about the people from Oklahoma and you know, having been there, as you said, two decades, is they really are resilient, good people who help each other. And from everything I could see, and I've spent some time in Oklahoma, that idea of I have your back, people were just digging with their bare hands, trying to help in the situation in the school, trying to see if there were more kids, you know, what happened at Briarwood Elementary School and the other elementary school that you mentioned too, as well. That's pretty accurate, isn't it, that everybody was there doing whatever they could to help with the search and anything else they could do?
Yeah, that's very much a hallmark of the personality of Oklahomans across the board. You know, I was chasing the storm. I got the warning. I grabbed my camera, went out, shot video of the storm as it hit more, and then I came in behind in the debris field. And within minutes after the tornado had passed through, I mean, you could still see the twister off in the distance. People were scrambling out of their shelters, their hidey holes, out of the rubble. And I mean, and the very first thing they did was start going house to house, building to building, pile of rubble to pile of rubble, and calling out to see if anybody was in there needing help. And I mean, you're talking people that are already bleeding, some shirtless, grabbing boards and bricks and pulling things to pull people out of rubble. And that's pretty typical of the way Oklahoma's react in this kind of situation.
Yeah. Shooting that and chasing it down, what was that like? What were you, was it an incredible roar and debris that you saw? I mean, how far away were you? How close did you get to it?
Well, initially I was at Southmore High School, which is just to the south of the debris path. And I was actually out by the athletic building where the football players work out. And I was just looking across the football fields, and here it is, this massive white cone that was, at that point, was about 2 miles away. And as I sat there, I shot for 2 minutes, and in the video, that cone, I could literally see it grow in size while I watched it afloat. And that freaked me out, because I've never seen anything like that. And so I thought, you know, this is going to be a dangerous spot. And so I jumped in my car and moved to a little bit of a safer position. And by the time I'd gotten there 5 minutes later, it had already become this massive wedge that at that point I was thinking was about an F4. And the debris field, at that point I could see large pieces of debris that could only have been walls and roofs of houses and buildings. And at that point I knew, my heart dropped through the floor, because I knew this was going to kill people. And when you see something like that, you just, it's such a terrifying, overwhelming feeling. And the sound of it, you never forget the sound of a tornado, but this one was even on a more epic scale. I mean, it was just this throbbing roar that just kind of resonates through you.
Wow. In one of the things that you certainly have seen as you've been covering this and whatnot is the great survivor stories. Talking about the loss of life is awful, but then there is the line of hope we look for, and there were a lot of stories from survivors. Was there a couple of good ones that you heard?
One of my favorites that I've heard so far, there was a mother who had three children. Her daughter was an autistic daughter who was in kindergarten at Plaza Towers, the school that was where the kids were found killed. And her two younger daughters were at a daycare nearby. And she was faced with the dilemma. She heard the warning, and she had enough time to go to one place or the other. So she raced to Plaza Towers where her autistic daughter was. Was pounding on the door, couldn't get anybody's attention, so she left and went and sought shelter because she knew she couldn't get to the daycare in time. And when she went to the daycare, and the daycare had been flattened, but she discovered her grandparents, her children's grandparents, had come and picked up the kid and taken them to a safe place. And but the amazing thing about the whole deal was the grandparents were actually in a house that was hit by the May 3rd, 1999 tornado, and their house was scoured off of the foundation. The same thing happened to grandparents again, but they were in a cellar in this house that they had built since May 3rd, 1999, and so they were safe, and the little girls were safe. When she got back to the school, she was so afraid when she got back, and she saw how bad the building was, and initially she couldn't find her daughter, but then she ran into a policeman who said the kindergartens were over here, and she went over and found her daughter, who had just a small cut, and it was an amazing reunion.
Wow. We'll be back with more with Rob Morris, talking about some of the things that have happened in Moore, Oklahoma next.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yeah, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters, made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bomb-proof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at AtlasSurvivalShelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or AtlasSurvivalShelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Speaking again, continuing our conversation with Rob Morris from themoredaily.com. He's on the ground. He's a storm chaser. He saw that tornado barreling down toward the city of Moore and just has some incredible stories to share with us. And we have some questions about some things that happened at the elementary school. You know, and bringing up the kids, I think the thing that so many people were asking also, and you talk about Plaza Tower Elementary, what about, now futuristically, and of course what happened the other day, what about the evacuation plans with the kids in the hallway and the fact that there wasn't a storm shelter? Do you think that changes? Because I think nationally when people are looking at this, that's what they're wondering. Geez, there was no storm shelter. But is this just kind of the normal thing? Because normally, you know, you're not dealing with this kind of an EF5.
Yeah, an EF5 is a really rare animal. And it's also, again, as we talked about, having one come up out of blue sky like it did yesterday is even rarer. You know, the state of Oklahoma has standards for the numbers of tornado drills that have to be run during the year. The Moore Public School System, which is the third largest school district in the state of Oklahoma, exceeds the state standards. So the kids are made well aware of the routine. And so there's not an issue of kids and teachers and administrators not knowing what to do. But the question you raised is, could more have been done? Should there be below ground shelters or safe rooms built into these schools? And, you know, that's a fair question, and that's a question that's going to be asked, and they're going to be hard answers. I was watching Dateline earlier tonight, and I didn't know this figure, but the cost of putting one of those in is around $1 million. And that's pretty significant, especially when you start talking about high schools, where you have, in our school district, we have 2,000 students or so per high school, for three high schools. And to put that kind of underground system in is just, I mean, it boggles the imagination. Do we want our kids to be safe? Absolutely. How do you balance that with the cost? And but it goes back and forth. I mean, kids lose their lives. Is it worth $1 million to save a life? Sure. Hard questions, and these are questions that are going to be talked about in the days to come.
Yeah. Last one, Robin, we appreciate your time here in America tonight, but after looking at the devastation and you're there, right there looking at it, how long does this take to rebuild? This is going to take some time, isn't it, to get more back on its feet?
You know, it is, but the thing I've learned, I've actually been down in Moore. This is my fourth year down in Moore with this hyperlocal startup that I've been involved in. And I've gotten to know the people down here, and they are this is a blue-class working city of about 58,000. They are hard-nosed. They are hard-working. They're strong. They're resilient. And the thing about this is the second time they've been hit by a tornado of this caliber. I mean, the one in 1999 had the highest measured winds of a tornado in history, 300 miles per hour. They've done this before. They've rebounded before. And, you know, my office is right across the street from City Hall, so I see the city manager and the economic developer and all of those folks all the time. And to a person, they all are confident because they've done this before. They know they can do it, and so they know they can do it again. And I believe the city will pick itself up, dust itself off, and in a remarkably short time, get things rolling again. Tell me if I'm running out of time here, but the thing that really illustrates this is the Warren Theater, which is kind of the crown jewel of Moore. It's this huge theater complex with the largest digital IMAX screen in the world, was hit by the tornado and hit pretty bad. But structurally it's sound, and they announced late this afternoon that they're going to be open. They're going to reopen on the 24th. That is typical of Moore. I mean, they're rebounding. They're ready to go.
Yeah, that's good news. Rob Morris, thanks for coming on the show. And you can check it out, themooredaily.com. And we wish you and certainly that town the best. And by the way, is the best thing to do to help the people? We've been pumping the Red Cross numbers and whatnot. Is that the best thing the people across America that are listening to the show can do for the people there?
Absolutely. People have given so much water, clothing, all of those things. I mean, they're literally semi-trailers full that can't even get down to Moore yet. The Red Cross would be the best option right now, because they'll be able to put that cash where it's needed most, for housing, for any kind of medical care, for emergency fund needs. The Red Cross is a great way to go.
Yeah. All right, Rob, thanks so much.
Kate, thanks for having me.
Thank you. A pile of rubble, that's what Moore is now in Oklahoma, and what an interesting conversation with Rob Morris through the eyes of somebody who's a reporter, but also learned to love Oklahoma and spent the bulk of his career there. The Oklahoma City Mayor, Mick Cornett, didn't mash up his words, mince them, whatever you want to call it. He said when he described what he saw, levels of debris 4 feet high as far as you could see. This is a quote, and we're talking about cars that are upside down, school books, children's toys, trees without bark. This was the storm of storms. So as you heard Rob say in that conversation, EF5 rating, so they changed that. They kept waffling the National Weather Service and then finally settled on EF5. And that's the highest you can go on the scale that measures the intensity of a hurricane, I mean, of a twister. I always think hurricane because I grew up in hurricane country. But if you want to know what the damage was like, the actually, the miles, how far it went across, they say it was 20 miles, but it, as it took out more and more stuff in front of it, the length was 22 football fields lined from end to end, end to end. So that's the 17, 20 mile range. And it's just was crazy. I mean, with the damage that it did, that's why it looks like nothing is there, but somebody threw toothpicks from the air and some other things meshed in between.
I think one of the most amazing things, though, is for as fast as this tornado, like the speed of it was, how hovering it was as well, where it, you know, the wind speeds are incredible, but the actual location of the tornado would just sit there and hover over one spot just for
a
slow amount of time.
40 minutes altogether. That was the weirdest thing. The whole thing took 40 minutes. But that you're right, that it would stay in one spot and churn. Almost, you know, it almost reminded me in a sick way when you turn on a juicer, when you turn on a blender, and the way it goes round and around and around, it's that same thing. It's all spewing out. It was just eating things, and sometimes in one spot, like Matt said, it's this warm and cold air that combine, and then the strong winds, and that's what really made it such a damaging tornado. And he kept referring back to 1999 because people want to compare it to something else. And that was a terrible tornado that struck. But as he said, it was so different this time around because it was clear. So the confusion for some people probably came in that it was a beautiful, clear day. Oh, we're having, there's a possibility of a tornadoes, there's a watch, this kind of stuff. And then poof, you're in the middle of it. Just like that, you are in the middle of it. So here's the thing about evaluating the damage, looking at what can happen in the future. These are all things that definitely have to be answered. That it is, as he said, as Rob said, is it worth it to have a storm shelter that costs you $1 million? Well, you know, if your town consistently gets hit with the horrific storms, like even though it was 99, now we're talking about 2013, the risk, the human life, of course it's worth it. You got to figure out a way to make it happen. I don't think you can risk it again because this is an area. It's Tornado Alley where this kind of stuff happens, and the strong tornadoes are there. Tornado Alley covers places like Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma's absolutely listed in there. There are parts of Texas that I would list it as Tornado Alley, too, and the damage that you see that's caused by it, crazy. So with this disaster, lots of people are trying to help, and that, like I said, is the good news. So many people are reaching out. Don't be afraid to do the same. Every little bit helps, even if you're just, you know, texting $10 in, whatever it is. The more money they can get to the people, the better, because imagine now trying to rebuild everything.
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.